one. One God. One in community. One in diversity. Diversity in unity. Unity in community. Today, in the Western Rite tradition, we, on this first Sunday after the glorious feast of Pentecost, we are celebrating Trinity Sunday. We are considering what the implications are of worshiping the most holy Trinity. God, who has revealed himself not simply as a monad, not simply as one God, but three persons. Three persons who share, who are consubstantial, that is, who share the same essence of the divine. We can't fully comprehend this. In fact, some of the church fathers tell us that we would go insane trying to, because it is beyond our human comprehension. And yet, this is the God who has revealed himself to Israel first, and then to the new Israel at the birth of the church at Pentecost. To us, he has revealed himself, not as three gods, but as three divine persons who relate to us, mankind. He is not just a higher power. He is not just an impersonal force or spirit, but rather a community, a diversity of divine who have condescended into creation, into time and space through the incarnation in order that we might be redeemed. The readings today, beginning with Matins, really bookmark what God has established and revealed within time and space, within creation. We heard, if you were here in Matins, the creation account from Genesis chapter 1. And then the reading that Deacon Stephen just chanted was from the book of Revelation. Both signifying that Christ, that God the Father, that the Holy Spirit stand at both the beginning of creation and at the end of creation, in the eschaton, before we were even formed, before the earth, before the sun, moon, and stars had being, God was. But God in his love, in that eternal exchange of divine love within the community of the most holy Trinity, wanted to share that love. And so creation came to be. And the capstone of that creation was you and me. Man and woman, created in his image, his holy image and likeness. You see, the church has taught that our being really reflects the triune nature of God. We are not just bodies, physical bodies, but we are body, soul, and spirit. There's a triune, a tripartite nature to who we are. And the church teaches us that, of course, our bodies, the carnal part of our being, is comparable to the Son, the Word, who became flesh. That the soul or the nous, the mind, is comparable to the Father. That from the Father, from the mind of the Father, proceeds the Spirit, eternally begets the Son, and set into motion the creation of all, and then the plans for our redemption and salvation. And that our spirit, of course, is comparable to the Holy Spirit, who mediates and communicates the continuing presence of Christ in the church who brings life, who brings divine insight into the reality of who God is and who we are in Christ Jesus. But we know that we have become, that through the fall of man, that image, that triune nature became distorted and marred. And even for those of us who have entered the waters of regeneration and received that seal and the gift of the Holy Spirit through our personal Pentecost, through our chrismation and entrance into the church, we still struggle. We still struggle with that old sin nature. But today I declare to you on this feast of the Most Holy Trinity that as we continue to join ourselves to this reality, to His presence, His divine presence, to continue through the grace and healing presence of God, especially in the holy mysteries of the church, that we will continue to be growing more and more into His holy likeness. You see, outside of the Most Holy Trinity, there is the opposite of being and existence. There is death. There is non-being. There is nothingness. And this is why the readings today bookmark both the beginning of creation as well as the eschaton, a view of what we will experience forever and ever in heaven. Because it is in the life of the Holy Trinity by which we are joined to this eternal exchange of divine love, by which we may apprehend by grace, not by nature, but by grace, the divine, to become partakers of His divine nature, that you and I may share that with those of us around us, that we may become agents and instruments of salvation. The gospel lesson this morning is a very familiar passage. And in fact, if you were to read on one other verse, for many of us who grew up in Bible schools and vacation Bible schools and Sunday schools, probably memorized that verse of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Here was Nicodemus, a man, a teacher of the law, who perceived and understood that our Lord was somebody anointed of God. But he wanted to get more understanding. And when he came to Jesus at night, because when Nicodemus came to Jesus at night for fear of his fellow teachers of the law, he asked him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And then Jesus answered, said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And of course, Nicodemus was confused. He said, how can me, like an old man, be born again a second time? But Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And the church has always taught that what Jesus is talking about here is water, is not the amniotic fluids of the womb, but rather the waters of baptism. The same baptismal waters which he submitted himself to through John the Baptist and sanctifying those waters and coming out of them. That the church, for those of us who make a confession of faith, may be joined to his death, burial, and glorious resurrection, to receive the regeneration of body, soul, and spirit into a life in union with the Most Holy Trinity of God. This is how Jesus teaches that we can enter the kingdom of God. Apart from that, we're blind from it. We cannot know it. We're seeing in our country right now just the chaos that exists. And while I'm here to tell you that we certainly should be reminded of past injustices of the past as a way of proceeding in a more godly way, in a way that is more consistent with the gospel, I will tell you that much of what we're seeing with such things as the Black Lives Matter movement, while it may be noble in many respects, is an aberration of what the gospel is teaching us. You see, there is a proclamation that there is unity and diversity, but when that's realized or taught in a way that is outside of God's revealed nature, then it becomes an aberration. It becomes vitriolic. It polarizes. And what we as believers need to declare is that not only do Black lives matter, and not only do we recognize past injustices, and no, we do not erase our past history, but rather what we as Christians, as Orthodox Christians in particular, are called to do is a kind of social justice which reveals the triune nature of God, community and unity, unity and community. And that cannot be realized apart from being joined to the kingdom of God. It is the love. It is the love between those divine persons of God. A love which then may be received by you and I. That look upon our brothers and our sisters not by the color of their skins or their creed or their ethnicity, but rather as fellow human beings who have been created in the glorious triune image of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have examples of this from all throughout Christian history. But in considering the Most Holy Trinity today and thinking about my own Celtic pedigree, I thought about the breastplate of St. Patrick, the Lorica of St. Patrick, which is one of the most ancient Christian hymns preserved, at least within the West. But I wanted to tell you just a brief story in closing about a woman in Ireland back in the early 1800s who had a love for our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And of course, within this Celtic tradition, was very strongly steeped within a strong Trinitarian understanding of her faith. And as a young schoolgirl growing up, she also had a poetic gift, as she often wrote poems in her journal. Her name, by the way, was Cecil Frances Humphreys. I realize Cecil's kind of an unusual name for a girl, but Cecil Frances would write poems in her journal, and before long it was realized that she had a real gift for poetry. In 1850, she was married to an Anglican priest by the name of William Alexander, who later became the primate of the Church of Ireland. But Cecil and her sister, in their love for Christ and their faith, had a special heart for those living on the margins of society, the poor, the deaf. So much so that they would travel many, many miles to provide those unfortunate members of their society with food and medicine. And she and her sister even began a school for the deaf in Ireland, one of the first of its kind in the mid-1800s. But because of her gift of poetry, she was asked to retranslate the breastplate of St. Patrick, which was a rather long hymn, as St. Patrick had written it, so that it could be set to music for organ use within the Western Church. And so she wrote the great hymn, "I Bind Unto Myself Today," which is still sung within our Western Orthodox churches. And I wanted to read you, and this is again from the breastplate of St. Patrick, I want to read you just three of those verses. In the first verse, "I bind unto myself today the strong name of the Trinity by invocation of the same, the three in one and one in three. Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger. I bind unto myself the name, the strong name of the Trinity, by invocation of the same, the three in one and one in three, of whom all nature has creation, eternal Father, Spirit, Word. Praise to the Lord of my salvation. Salvation is of Christ the Lord." Let us continue in the spirit of Cecil Francis Alexander, who translated this glorious hymn, and recognizing that it is the most holy Trinity by which we have life and being, by which we can love and bring the glorious light of Christ to all the darkness of the world around us. By this then, we will realize diversity in unity. Unity in diversity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.